My name is Alan Morse, and we're going to start another study. And it's going to be a study in 2 Thessalonians. And we're going to continue. This is number 2. And we're going to continue on as we go on and on in this Thessalonians, verse by verse. And right now, we were in verse 10, chapter 1, verses 10, and we were involved in something that we're going to continue. But let me read chapter, verse 10. It says, "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." We're dealing with the testimony, see. Well, what we need to do is, you make sure you get your Bibles out, you make your pencils and papers, and we're going to be talking about the testimony of Paul. And we've gone through just one testimony in each epistle up to now. We're in Galatians, and we're going to talk about what we think. We're going to just take one out of each of these. And we've already gone from Romans to Galatians, and now we're going to talk about in Galatians. What was his testimony? That a major testimony here that he could use. And so let's look at Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 11. This is, I think, is one of the best. It said, "I make known unto you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not after man, for neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." See, that's tremendously important. You see, we were given the gospel for salvation. It didn't come from Paul. It came from Jesus. He's the one who pointed to the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. He's the one who told us that's what we have to believe in order to be saved. And does he not have the right to tell us how to be saved when he is the one who died on that cross? And you see, it wouldn't do a bit of good to believe in Jesus for your salvation if Christ hadn't died on the cross. You could believe in anybody all you want to, and it wouldn't save you, because your sins would never be taken care of. But Jesus had to die, and that's why he took on a body, a human body, and came down here, because his regular body couldn't die. And he came to the cross intentionally to pay for the sin debt for mankind. He knew that they weren't going to accept him. He was God. But he had to do one thing, and that's what Jesus did. He died for our sins. And so when he started this new church, he pointed salvation not to who he was, see, not believing in Jesus. He put it to what he did. And he's the one that told us to believe the gospel. And the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And that's why it's important for us to have a verse here to show that Paul got this gospel directly from Jesus Christ. So that's a testimony, a great testimony. Now let's go to Ephesians. Of course, the primary verse that is just wonderful, there's a bunch of them in here, but the one that I use most, because it's the second most important verse in the Bible, other than 1 Corinthians 15, which lays out the gospel, see? But here's what it says, in whom it says, tell that we should be to the, this is verse 12, chapter 1, it said that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation, whom after you believed what happened, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Think about that. If that isn't a testimony, I don't know what is. And it's all based on the word of truth, or the gospel of your salvation. After we believe that, we didn't do anything but believe that, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And that's the proof of our salvation. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. It's just that simple. And if that's the only way you get the Holy Spirit, is believe the gospel. You can't get it from praying for it. You can't get it from confessing your sins. You can't get it from repenting. You can't get it from walking down the aisle. You can only get the Holy Spirit, just what it says right here, when you believe the gospel, see, of your salvation. So that's Ephesians. So let's go what the next one is. Philippians. Well, there's lots of them in Philippians, but I'm just going to go here on the first page. This is kind of neat. Philippians chapter 1, And let's look at verses. Let's look at verses 6. Philippians chapter 1, verses 6 is, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see that? When he performs this work in you, you're believing the gospel for your salvation. He opened up your mind so you could believe it. And when you believe the gospel for your salvation and you are saved, he says, he who hath begun that good work in you will perform it. He will do it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means the day he comes back in a rapture or the day when you die. He's going to perform it. We're not going to. So everything that we have for salvation is all in the hands of God. It has nothing to do with us. All we got to do is believe what he did on that cross. That's all we got to do is believe that he died on that cross to pay for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? And people just turn their back on it. No wonder God would be angry. His own son had to go to that cross and people could care less, you know. Well, they're going to find out. Now let's go to Colossians. Go to Colossians. Well, there's only one verse for me. There's more than that, but this one verse has just been so wonderful. And it really gives us an idea what this gospel is. Let's turn to verses chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 21. It says, and you that were once alienated. Think about yourself. We were once alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now he reconciled. Who's he? Christ. He's reconciled. How did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. See, that's the gospel. He died to pay for our sins. Through his death to present you what? Holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Think about that. We're going to be presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. But there's an if there. There's an if there. Look what it says in 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of taking Jesus as your Savior. No, it didn't say that, did it? From the hope of believing in Jesus. No, it says from the hope of the gospel, that Christ died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose from the dead, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature that is under heaven, of which I, Paul, am made a minister. And I've been with ministers my whole life, and none of them preached the gospel one time. Not one time. I never heard a preacher stand and say, open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm going to show you what true salvation is. I never had a minister stand up, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for those who believe. I never heard that. Have you heard it? Well, I hope you have, but I never did. And I'm 71 years old. Think about that. Never heard it. That's Colossians. Now, we go to 1 Thessalonians. Well, we just went through 1 Thessalonians, but if I was going to choose a verse, I would choose almost the last verses in the Bible of this 1 Thessalonians. In chapter 5, let's look at verses 23. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus. He's saying our whole soul and spirit and body are going to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look at the next verse. 24. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who called you? God called you. He's the one to open your heart so you could believe the gospel, who also will do it. Do what? Preserve you blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that isn't a once saved, always saved verse, I don't know what is. You see, God is totally in control when we believe the gospel. He takes over and he just leads us the rest of our life. He lives in us, see. And the church don't understand that at all because they don't believe the gospel. And there's no way they can have the Holy Spirit. And they're trying to make it go on their own, and they can't. That old sin nature just weighs too heavy on them. They can't do it. It just can't be done. So now we're back in 2 Thessalonians. And it was kind of neat, wasn't it? We went through the testimony of Paul. And just one of them in each of those chapters. And it's just wonderful. what God has done. You just take those few right there that we just talked about, and you find, memorize those that are where they're at, and show them to people. It'll make all the difference in the world in their life, you know. It's just tremendously. It says, because our testimony among you was believed in that day, see. And this testimony that he sure was believed by me, and I got, but it took a long time for it to get to me. And it's just, I just praise the Lord for a faithful man by the name of Les Feldick who gave me the gospel, because the churches never did. The churches never did. Therefore, verse 11, also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work and faith and the work faith with power. See, and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is it's always him. It's always what Jesus did. Let's turn to Ephesians. This has to do this one. Turn to Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. And this is one that most people know. But you see, they don't really know because of the fact they don't know how to understand the meaning of the words. So let's just talk this. This is neat. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8. It says, for by grace you are saved. What's grace? Unmerited favor is through something we did nothing ourselves. God did it all on that cross. He did everything. So if by grace you are saved through faith. Faith in what? It always points to the cross. Because that's where salvation is. It's not salvation in Jesus. It's salvation in what he did. It always goes to the gospel. It's our faith in the gospel that saved us. It's not our faith in Jesus that saved us. Jesus is just a name. But he pointed not to his name. He pointed to what he did. And that's the gospel. He died on that cross to pay for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. So that's the faith. See? So by grace you are saved through faith in that gospel. Faith in his gospel, in Christ, who died on that cross, and that not of yourself, see, has nothing to do with you. Our salvation is based, it is a gift of God. God gives us this gift, and all we've got to do is have faith in the gospel, see. He just tells us to believe what he did. You see, he just tells us to believe what Christ did, that he died to pay for your sins, and we believe that, we're saved, okay? It's a gift. Well, see, you can't earn a gift, see, and you can't get anything from a gift unless you take it, see, and that's what's the problem. People won't take the gift. It's out there as a gift. Salvation is a gift from God, and all you got to take it, and how you take it, you believe he gave it, you see? He believed he gave it. Look at that. He says, not of works. There's nothing that you can do yourself whatsoever for salvation except believe the gospel. There's no work you can do. You baptize isn't going to save you. Speaking in tongues is not going to save you. Joining a church is not going to save you. You know, there is nothing you can do to be saved except believe the gospel. Not of works, lest any man should boast. See? Lest anyone should boast. This is tremendously important. It's how wonderful how God had provided this for salvation for mankind. And he's going to do it all. And he's going to keep you. We just saw that. Let's go back to the text then. 2 Thessalonians. It's just wonderful. It's a gift to God. Okay, we're going to start in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the gathering together of him. Now, what is the gathering together of him? There you go. There's a rapture again, see. We're looking for his coming, and are gathering together unto him. It's another time. They knew what the rapture was. And we went through it already. It says, that you soon not you not be soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor either by letter, as from us, as that day of the Lord, that it is the day of the Lord, is present. You see, somebody was writing to them and telling, because of all these tribulations they were going through, the day of the Lord, see. And it was a letter signed, it was written to them, signed by Paul, but it wasn't by Paul. It was by somebody else, and told them that they're going through the tribulation. And Paul was writing back, don't do that. He said, there's no way. It's not a tribulation. Isn't here. The day of the Lord isn't present, see. It's not. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except what? There will be a falling away. But that word falling away is only in these recent Bibles that we have. But in the beginning, in the Bibles, they always had departure. Why they changed it, I don't know. But departure, you see, it can't happen unless the rapture comes. That's what they're talking about, departure. See, there's no way that this Antichrist can be revealed and the day of the Lord can start until the church is gone, see, until it's departed. But when it has departed, look what happens. The man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition, see. As soon as God takes us home out of here, and then he's going to deal through tribulation to the Jews and to all the unbelievers that's on this world, because the church is gone. See, we'll be gone in just a twinkling of an eye. Boom, it'll be done. We will be out of here. And that's just wonderful, see. We're not going through the tribulation. No way. It isn't going to happen. And then it says, who opposes and exalts himself, we're talking about this son of perdition, exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is this Antichrist that's going to be showing himself that he's God. He said, remember ye not which I was yet with you, I told you these things. He's already explained these things to them. And now you know what resisteth, and that he might be revealed at his time, you see. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's holding it back until God is ready, you see. For the mystery of the iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hindereth will hinder until he is taken out of the way. And see, that means until the Holy Spirit, you know, it leaves, and then when he leaves, when he'll go with us, and then the wicked man will come. It says, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So we see that God's going to take care of him eventually, see. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, see, because they receive not the love of the truth. What's the love of the truth? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. They didn't receive it, and that they might be saved, see. And for this cause, see, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, and that they all might be judged who believe not the truth. What's the truth? They did not believe the gospel, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's just, you know, this is exactly what's going to happen. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't believe the truth. And they're in trouble. I mean, horrible trouble. But in verse 13, I like buts. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning, see, God has from the beginning has chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth or the gospel, unto which he called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a mouthful, but it is fantastic. You see, right off the bat it says, from the beginning. You see, that's kind of like Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. You know, you're talking about we have been chosen before the foundations of the world. And here he is. He said, from the beginning, we have chosen us to salvation through what? The sanctification of the Spirit. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is what proves that you are a believer. And without the Spirit, you're none of His. And that's in Romans chapter 8, verses 9. It also it talks about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5. He said, examine yourself. Prove yourself. Is Christ living in you? If not, you're discredited. See, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. See, and that sanctification of the Holy Spirit is tremendously important. And the belief of the truth, in order to be sanctified, you have to believe the gospel unto which He called you by our gospel to obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful verse. What a wonderful verse. It says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. You see, they only had to be able to communicate this gospel that they had, these traditions. The traditions are what? The gospel and being filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, when you believe it, those were the traditions that they taught. And they had to pass those in either by word or epistle. And they're writing, they only did one letter, and then they sent it 150 miles and it scattered out and between over 100 miles from one church to the next, you know. And they only got there was by walking, you know. And so it didn't get about very much, around very good, but you had to hold tight to that word and their epistle. There's no doubt about it. He says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, who have loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, unmerited favor, comforts your heart and establishes you to every good work. Good word and work. Just think about that. It's just wonderful. Okay, finally, in verse 3 it says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have a free course and be glorified even as it is with you. You see, that's our prayer, is we could get this word out and it had free course and people would believe the gospel for their salvation before it's too late. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Not all men have faith. Now, what happened? What is he talking about? Delivered from wicked men. Well, let's just look at this. This is something. Let's turn back to see what Paul had to go through. Let's turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Wicked men. And let's turn, look at verses 24. Let's work at verses 24. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. That's the cat of nine tails. Five times he was beaten with the cat of nine tails, 39 times. We know our Lord was beaten once and about cut him in half. It was awful what he went through, see? But Paul went through it five times. And then they would throw him in a dungeon. And you know what a dungeon was back in those days? It was just a hole in the ground. I had a friend of mine, had a friend of his, go to over there in Greece and those places. And they showed him what these jails were. All they were was a hole in the ground. And they lowered them down in a rope about 20 feet. And there they were, just in the bottom of that hole. And they threw some water and food down there for them every once in a while. And there was, it was just like being in a cesspool. They didn't have any bathrooms. And he lowered him down in that hole after they beat him with the cat of nine tails. He was bloody as can be. His back was shredded like hamburger. And how he come out of there alive to preach the gospel, but he did. God got him out of there and he preached the gospel. It didn't slow him down. He just kept preaching the gospel. And then it says, three times I was beaten with rods. That's just almost as bad. The rods were horrible. When they say when they hit you with those rods, it knocked all the wind out of you. And before you could get your breath, they actually hit you again. And pretty soon you'd about suffocated. But that wasn't the real problem. The problem was when they got done beating you, you had broken ribs. You had broken vertebrae. And many of those people never walked afterwards because of the broken vertebrae in their back. It was horrible. Three times he went through that. Five times was beaten with the cat of nine tails. Three times with rods. And then he says, I was stoned. And you know, when the Jews stone you, they don't stone you to death. I mean, stone you alive, they stone you to death. They killed him. There's no doubt about it. They killed him. They broke every bone in his body. And they drug him out of the town, Lystra, like a dead horse. And guess what? God raised him up and healed him perfectly. To do what? To preach the gospel. And then it goes, says, I was shipwrecked. I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I spent in the deep. In journeys, often in perils of water, perils of robbers, perils of my own countrymen, and perils of the Gentiles, perils in the cities, peril in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching, often in hunger and thirst and fasting, often in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily was the care of the churches. I mean, there's no one like Paul. He went through all that, and the only way they kept him, stopped him. The only way they could keep him from preaching the gospel is Nero cut his head off. Nero cut his head off. Think about that. Let's go back to the text. 2 Thessalonians. It's just hard to even comprehend. Now, we're going to have to quit here, and we're going to finish it up the next round, and then we're going to review it again like we did the other one. But this is tremendously important, and let's have a prayer. Dear Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us, and I just ask that you continue to watch over us and guide us and direct us the way we should go, and that we would come to the saving knowledge of the gospel, each and every one of us, that we may be counted worthy for you because of what you did on that cross. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.